Bhavan Mahatattvam
Bhavan Mahatattvam
Avyaktat Kala Chodita
Avyaktat Kala Chodita
Vijnanatmatma Dehastam
Vijnanatmatma Dehastam
Vishvam Vyanjam Stamonuta
Vishvam Vyanjam Stamonuta
Thereafter,
Abhavat
came into existence. Mahat, supreme. Tattvam, sum total. Avyaktat,
from the unmanifested.
Kalachoditat,
by the interaction of time.
Vijnana Atma,
unalloyed goodness,
Atma Dehastam,
situated in the bodily self,
Vishwam,
complete universes,
Vyanjan,
manifesting,
Tamanudha,
the supreme light.
Thereafter, influenced by the interactions of eternal time, the supreme sum total of matter, called the Mahatattva, became manifested. And in this Mahatattva, the unalloyed goodness, the supreme Lord, sowed the seeds of universal manifestation out of his own body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In due course of time, the impregnated material energy was manifested first as the total material ingredients. Everything takes its own time to fructify, and therefore the word Kala Chodatat, influenced by time, is used herein. The Mahatattva is the total consciousness because a portion of it is represented in everyone as the intellect. The Mahatattva is directly connected with the supreme consciousness of the supreme being. But still it appears as matter, the Mahatattva or shadow of pure consciousness. Is the germinating place of all creation. It is pure goodness, and with the slight addition of the material mode of passion, and therefore activity is generated from this point. Thereafter, influenced by the interactions of eternal time, the supreme sum total of matter, called the Mahatattva, became manifested. And in this Mahatattva, the unalloyed goodness, the Supreme Lord sowed the seeds of universal manifestation out of his own body. I am very grateful to again be in the divine presence of all of you at this holy place. Sri Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I thank you for allowing me to serve in whatever way by making some attempt to repeat the sacred and immortal words of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Ananti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai.
Vidura, who was one of the three sons of Vedavyas, Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura, was living in great royalty in the beautiful city of Hastinapur. But he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna and a true well-wisher of the Lord's devotees. Therefore, even at the risk of losing all of his property, his family, his very life, he spoke the truth. He was always Dhritarashtra's most intimate well-wishing friend and brother. Speaking to him the truths which would save him from terrible, terrible karmic bondages. The worst possible reactions that come upon us in this world is when we deliberately, out of envy, pride, exploit and offend the Lord's devotees. Because if we commit sinful activities, the laws of karma will deal with us according to the particular measure of the standards that have been ordained. But when we offend the Lord's devotees, Krishna himself intervenes and personally protects the devotees and punishes the violators. So Vidura could understand what kind of terrible predicament Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, and the others were creating for their own lives by behaving in such envious way toward the Pandavas. So he was always giving good advice, that they are devotees of Krishna. They are the natural heirs to the throne. You should not treat them like this. You should not speak like this. Dhritarashtra is like every conditioned soul, especially devotees, in the sense that on one side, Vidura, who is the representative of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, is speaking the truth. And on the other side, we have our own conditioned mind, which is like Duryodhana, speaking in terms of our own material security, trying to instill with us deeper and deeper considerations of our material attachments, and acting accordingly. So he was torn between the two. But ultimately, because of his too much attachment to his bodily relationship, Duryodhana, he took his side, and Vidura, like a great Vaishnava, even though he was being blasphemed and persecuted in so many ways, he still continued to try to preach the truth to him. And ultimately, Duryodhana threatened to take his very breath away from his life and forced him to leave the kingdom, leave his home, leave his family. And Dhritarashtra just stood and watched and did not speak a word to defend his own well-wishing brother. So Vidura took this as the divine arrangement of the Lord. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. Whatever situation becomes, he understands it is an opportunity for devotional service. It is ultimately the will of the Lord. Vidura could have chastised Krishna in the sense of losing faith, that I was right, I didn't do anything wrong, I was mistreated, I had all good intentions. Why you have taken everything material away from me? What did I do? Why do bad things happen to good people? He did not think like this, but rather he understood that the Lord has his inconceivable will, and his inconceivable will is perfect. And it will unfold in due course of time why Krishna does what he does to his devotee. So he took it as a blessed opportunity and he went on pilgrimage. He traveled throughout Bharat Varsha, so many holy places, and then he came to Uddhava, and there from Uddhava he had heard the beautiful, wonderful narrations of the Supreme Lord Krishna's wonderful pastimes in Dwarka, in Mathura, and in Vrindavan Dham. Uddhava, out of his natural etiquette, he explained that Maitreya, he is senior to me, so really you should take instructions from him. Even though actually Uddhava was the Lord's dearest friend, and as he spoke of the wonderful Leela of the Lord in Vrindavan, it describes in Bhagavatam what completely ecstatic manifestations were awakening within his heart. Still, out of the principle of etiquette, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained is the jewel that gives beauty to a Vaishnava in the eyes of the Lord, he told him, you should go to Maitreya and seek instructions from him. So it is here in the holy place of Haridwar, on the bank of the sacred river Ganges, that they are having their discussion. And Vidura, after expressing his great eagerness to hear more and more of the glories of the Lord, is being praised by Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni is considering himself most fortunate that Krishna has sent such a person to inspire him to speak the glories of the Lord. In this way, we find the natural humility of devotees. Vidura is humbling himself before Maitreya, that you are my Shiksha Guru, please speak. And Maitreya is glorifying Vidura, that actually, I am your servant, you are so kindly inspiring me to speak, because you are so eager to hear. Vidura especially wanted to hear about how the Lord manifests his divine will through this material energy, how it is working. He has already heard the beautiful Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura pastimes of the Lord, but now he wants to hear from Maitreya these truths. Because the great devotees of the Lord, they are very much attracted to hearing everything that Krishna does. Because whatever Krishna does, either within the material or spiritual worlds, are all attractive. Why? Because they help us to remember Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was very strong on this point. How? We must know that Krishna is the cause of all causes. And everything he does, if we remember that Krishna is the doer and how he is doing, it simply awakens our natural attraction for Krishna. And when we understand the truths of this material existence, naturally, inevitably, we have to surrender to Krishna with our hearts and souls. We have no alternative if we have any intelligence whatsoever. Who is Krishna? Who is Vibhu? Unlimited. And who are we? Anu. Insignificant. Here it is being described. Kala chodataha. Under the influence of time, everything is taking place. And Krishna manifests that he is that time. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, time I am, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists within this material creation. Srila Prabhupada explains what is this time factor and how important it is to understand that there are four yugas, Satyayuga, Treta-yuga, Dwapar-yuga, Kali-yuga. When these four yugas are combined, it is called one yuga cycle, which equals 420,000 years. Yes? That is one yuga cycle. or Divya Yuga. And this, after the Kali Yuga, again Satya Yuga begins. Satya Yuga is the age where 100% of the population is basically God conscious, following the principles of religion and aspiring for transcendental consciousness. In Treta Yuga, 1/4 of religion or dharma is diminished. In Dwapara Yuga, at the very beginning, hardly half the population takes interest in spirituality. And at the beginning of Kali Yuga, which is 432,000 of years, hardly 1/4 even has any consideration of spirituality. And gradually it dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. Of course, the great sages, it is explained that they worship this Kali Yuga as the greatest of all yugas. One may ask, why? Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. That this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kalera dosa nidera jan astihika mahanguna. People are spiritually lazy, they are addicted to sinful activities, they are so much attached to this misconception of the bodily concept. All vices, all pollution is everywhere. Why the sages who are compassionate and loving, why they worship this age of Kali? Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. Because the Lord gives his most intimate mercy in this age of Kali. It is in the age of Kali Yuga that the Lord descends as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yugavatar, and he gives love of Krishna to everyone freely by simply chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udharilo thara saki jagai madha. Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha Ravana Kumbha Karana Shishupal Dantavakra. They were killed by the various avatars of the Lord in previous yugas with their nails or with their tusk or with their bow and arrow or chakra or club. But in Kali Yuga, those same demons are given pure love of God the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's great mercy. So we are very fortunate to be born in this Kali Yuga. We should be very grateful for the chance, providing we surrender to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we do not, then we are the most unfortunate to be in this age of Kali, because it is the most miserable, terrible age, where everyone is just heaping at every second more and more karmic bondage upon themselves. So it is the opportunity to be the most unfortunate or the most supremely fortunate, depending on the choices we make. So this Divya Yuga of the cycle of the four yugas, 4,320,000 years, it is called one Divya Yuga. And 71 such Divya Yugas is the lifetime of one Manu. And each Manu lives such a duration of life and then dies. And there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. That means 1,000 Yuga cycles is one day of Brahma. Approximately 4,300,000,000 years is Brahma's day. After the day of Brahma, there is a partial annihilation of the universe. What happens then? Very difficult. The Ananta Shesha begins to breathe fire into the universe. And all up to beyond Swargaloka, up to Maharloka, Taparloka, Janaloka. Those are the planets of great sages and rishis. They are not touched by these partial annihilations. But everyone who is still trying to enjoy sense gratification, they get burned, even beyond Swargaloka or Indraloka. And for, I believe it's 36,000 years, he breathes flames, and everything is burnt. And then for the next 36,000 years, waters began to just flow, just pour from the skies. And beyond Swargaloka, everything just becomes like an ocean. The oceans just swell up, and everything is just drowned in the waters of devastation. And meanwhile, Brahma, he's sleeping for a duration of 4,300,000,000 years. And then when he wakes up, at that time, while he's sleeping, all the living entities who have karmic desires, they enter into the body of the Virat Purusha, or Vishnu, and they fall in a sleeping state. And then when Brahma wakes up, everything becomes normal again, and all of the spirit souls enter into the various 8,400,000 species of life according to their previous karmic conditions. And like this, the day of Brahma begins. So these days and nights of Brahma go on. Seven of these days is one of Brahma's week. 30 of these days is his month. 365 is his years. And he lives 100 years, which equals 311. Brahma, 311,040,000,000,000 years to Mahavishnu is called one Nimesh. Nimesh means 8/15 of a second. That means slightly more than half of a second for Mahavishnu. In fact, it is explained in Shastra that when you blink your eye, like this, that is considered one Nimesh. The time that your upper part of eye touches the lower part of eye, when you just unconsciously blink, that is a Nimesh. So the lifetime of Brahma is of that significance to Mahavishnu. And as far as Mahavishnu is concerned, he is just an expansion and an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Lord Narayan, who is an expansion of Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So when we understand the beautiful Leela of Krishna, when he descends to this world, playing with the cowherd boys, dancing with gopis, playing upon his flute, and having so many loving relationships with his eternal associates in Braj Dham, we should understand, this is Krishna. How great. Mahavishnu is insignificant. He's just a temporary manifestation of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains how time is so great and powerful in this material world. What is time's existence in the spiritual world? Time exists, but not like the material existence. In material existence, time is controlling everyone and everything. Whether you are king or sweeper of the street, you are being devoured at every second by the power of Krishna in time. Even the greatest mountains, the greatest oceans, the greatest planets, even the great rulers, the demigods, they are all being controlled at every moment by the power of time. But in the spiritual world, time has no control over anything or anyone. It simply exists to facilitate the wonderful variegatedness of the Leela and the pastimes between the Lord and his devotees. Everyone is Satchit Ananda. Everything is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So the more we understand how utterly insignificant we are in this world, and how great, wonderful, and glorious is Krishna, this Brahma we're speaking of, who lives 311,040,000,000,000 years, and amongst human beings, if we can live till 70 or 80 years old, what to speak of 90, people touch our feet and say, you are very great. Such a great person has lived so long. But what is the significance? Nothing. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains, to Mahavishnu, the lifetimes of Brahma are like bubbles coming upon the ocean of this material existence and bursting. There's no significance. Srila Prabhupada especially uses the example of the Atlantic Ocean. He says the lives of Brahma are like bubbles coming to the surface of the Atlantic Ocean for a second and bursting. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta looking at the ocean, he was seeing everything in terms of Krishna, even the bubbles. So what is our significance of this life that we consider to be so important? We are willing to betray the Lord, betray our vows, do so many things just for some security or for some enjoyment in this world. What is the significance? This human form of life is so rare. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. In this one life, if we simply dedicate it to being the servant of the servant of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servants, then we will definitely go back home, back to the spiritual world, beyond time, beyond birth and death, and enter into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. What is the price? Just this tiny, insignificant span of existence within this one human life, if we just dedicate it for this purpose. My human beings are so miserly, so unfortunate. They will not do it. In this little insignificant lifetime, we just want to extract some amount of material enjoyment. Puna punas charavata charavananam. Chewing what we have already chewed through millions and millions of species of life, perhaps in millions and millions of creations. We have been trying to get a little more pleasure in this body, whatever bodies, a little more distinction and prestige within our minds. For what? Within a moment it all disappears. Govinda Das is prayed, kamala dala jala jivana talabana. Just like a drop of water appears on a lotus leaf for a second and then it is gone. That is the significance of everything we live for in this world. Our body, our wealth, our health, our family members, our friends, our society, our loved ones. They will just, like that drop of water, just vanish within second. But Krishna gives us such a wonderful opportunity. Mam mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jim nam namaskuru. Mam evaishyasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. You just think of me. You worship me and become my devotee. You will come to me without fail. This is my promise, my word. How? And any moment, even one moment lost, the Vishnu Purana says is the greatest tragedy in all of existence. How do we lose it? Trying to aspire for any pleasure outside of the pleasure of being enjoyed by Krishna through devotional service. So this is a very, very wonderful explanation. Maitreya Muni is describing what is our significance within this material existence, and how Krishna is so kind, he is so merciful, that he descends within this material world only for the purpose of reclaiming all of us by giving us the ways and the means by which we can purify our hearts. Human life is meant for only one purpose, purification. And purification is a joyful process because Krishna is all pure, he is all attractive, simply by remembering Krishna, simply by keeping our consciousness always connected to Krishna. We naturally become completely purified. And it may take some time, but what is that time? We become impatient when after a mere 10 or 20 or 30 or even 40 years of devotional service, we're thinking, why? I'm not a Paramahamsa. I've been chanting for 40 years Maha Mantra. Why not Paramahamsa? But what is 40 years? When we understand what is eternal time, and what is the time within this material existence? 100 years is nothing. Why should we be impatient? Mukunda Dutt, when he was told that after billions of lifetimes he would see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, Mukunda Dutt was dancing in transcendental ecstasy. I will see, I will see. After only a billion lifetimes. So we should not be impatient. Srila Rupa Goswami says that these are the symptoms of surrender. Enthusiasm and patience. We must be very, very enthusiastic and very strict in following the principles of Krishna consciousness, in doing devotional service, serving the Lord, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Without enthusiasm, we can make no progress. But at the same time, we must be very patient. Whatever it takes, however many lifetimes, however many years in this lifetime, it is nothing. It is insignificant for what Krishna is giving us in return. So Srila Prabhupada pleaded with all of his devotees again and again, just take this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. Do not give up ever on the path of bhakti, and continue to inspire and enliven one another by chanting Krishna's holy names. It is through the chanting of Krishna's holy names that we can always keep our consciousness in remembrance of Krishna, connected to Krishna. Within his name are all of his powers, all of his potency, all of his pastimes. If we simply learn to surrender with humility to the holy name of the Lord, everything will be revealed to us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Is it only this particular Kali Yuga they worship because of the appearance of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Every Kali Yuga, but especially this Kali Yuga. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in every Kali Yuga, as does Krishna, as Yuga avatars. But only once in a day of Brahma does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear, not as a Yuga avatar, just to spread the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names, but he appears in his original form, who is the source of all avatars. It is once in a day of Brahma that Sri Chaitanya, the original Lord Krishna, appears as the Lord of Vrindavan in his original form. And in that same Kali Yuga, in the same day of Brahma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as Krishna, who is aspiring to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love. These three internal reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent. He wanted to understand what is the nature of Srimati Radharani's love. What is the ecstasy and happiness that she derives upon seeing him? And what is it about him that makes Radharani so happy? This is Krishna appearing in the mood of Sri Radharani, tasting the sweetness of his own loving devotion. That takes place once in every day of Brahma. And that is the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are worshipping, who appeared just 500 years ago. He appears once in every 411, what is it, trillion, 30 billion years. And considering it was only 500 years ago, Srila Prabhupada, who is in touch with eternity, he says just recently Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in his original form. In other Kali Yugas, he comes as a incarnation of Kshirodakshai Vishnu for the three external reasons: to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect his devotees, to fulfill the desire of Advaitacharya's callings, and to spread the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yes? Yes, something like that. Another question? Yes.
Right, you mentioned how that Lord Ananda, he destroys the universe at partial annihilation. But as far as I recall, and also in the 12th canto of Shiva Bhagavatam, it's mentioned how Markandeya Rishi, he wanted to see the Lord's illusory energy, and actually he was floating in the water of devastation, but there was no mention of Ananta Shesa burning the planets. And as far as I recall, it's at the end of life of Lord Brahma, so it's wonderful.
Prabhupada explains it this way: the waters come after. In Srimad Bhagavatam purports. I can explain.
The picture shows that was authorized by Prabhupada.
See, if you just study Jadurani's art, you will know everything. This is Prabhupada's mercy. Through these wonderful pictures, we can understand the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Hariho, thank you very much. She saved me. She's always saving me. Is there any other questions? Yes, one more. Lord Brahma is aware. He is the original guru of our parampara. So when we understand Brahma from this point of view of the original spiritual master of our disciplic succession, we must understand what a pure unalloyed devotee he is. When he descends in this age of Kali Yuga, this Brahma that we are speaking of in our universe, he is Haridas Thakur. He knows everything. Sometimes by the Lord's divine will, he wants to use the greatest person as an example so he may bewilder him at time to teach lessons to the world. But we know, we accept Brahma as a completely self-realized, liberated soul. He's the guru of Narada Muni, who is a guru of the author of the Vedas, Vedavyas. So what is his exalted position? He is also the author of Sri Brahma Samhita, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself worshipped these verses as the highest, most pristine prayers of love, revealing the truths of Govinda, Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. So sometimes for some lila, the Lord may make him appear certain ways, stealing cowherd boys and like that. But ultimately, we should understand that Brahma is the Lord's completely surrendered devotee. The Lord revealed to him the darshan of Goloka Vrindavan. And Brahma Samhita is simply his explanation of prayers of what he is seeing. But even Lord Brahma, when he comes before Krishna, that little cowherd boy of Braja, he places his four crowns upon Krishna's lotus feet in utter humility and surrender. So let us always, with a grateful heart, chant Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Ram. Hare Ram.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.